Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
You know that just at the right time, right season, right moment that God put that person into your life. I remember I was coming back to the Lord. I'd walked away from the Lord for a season, and I was coming back to Him, and I felt like, man, God, I am so, I don't know if I'd use the word depressed, but I was so down, kind of figuring out, God, what are you doing in my life? And I don't know where I'm going. And I just kind of need something. I need someone. And God put this guy by the name of Joey into my life. And he had been in my life prior to, but for some reason, Joey's words about the Bible and about who Jesus is just rang more true to me in that season as I was kind of hungry and wondering. And I am so thankful to this day for the way that God used that man in my life. And there was actually a couple other guys that would speak into my life. And I look back and I think, man, everyone needs that person in those seasons to come alongside them, spend time with them, and speak into their life. And if I just asked you, did you have that with someone in your life who at just that moment, and maybe they'd been there before, and maybe you'd heard it before, but for some reason in that moment, in that season, God used that person to speak truth into your life. And I'm just telling you, I'm thinking maybe there's someone tonight who's showed up, and maybe you're even a Christian, and even, because I was, but I was just so far away from the Lord that He began to draw me back in, and He used Joey to do it, and a handful of other people, but I just remember specifically Him walking beside me. Tonight, you've already turned in your Bibles to John chapter 4. I believe the Bible talks about this kind of God encounter, where you're hungry, you're thirsty for something, you don't know what it is, you're kind of looking all over the place, and the world isn't answering. And I believe John chapter 4 tonight gives us this example. In fact, who better than Jesus to be the one that is in the middle of that conversation? And so, John chapter 4 tonight, here's how it says. John chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied by his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour." So imagine just for a moment, it's probably noon. So high noon, it's hot, it's warm at this well where Jesus is now sitting. Verse 7, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." So high noon, warm, this woman comes out. That's a little odd that this woman's coming out by herself. Typically, they would travel together. Women would travel together out to the well, and typically, they wouldn't be coming at high noon. So here's this woman, and you got to be scratching your head a little bit. Like, why are you coming out here by yourself, and why are you coming at noon? There's something peculiar here. But then Jesus does something. He says to her, "Give me a drink." Which, again, very unique situation here that Jesus would even, in this culture, speak to this woman, because men weren't speaking to women out in the public, generally. Also, Jesus is a Jew, and we find out in this text, this woman's a Samaritan, and they weren't on speaking terms either. So Jesus, let me tell you what happens. Jesus sees in this moment there's something going on with this woman. And he breaks through a bunch of barriers so that he might be that person, like Joey was to me, to speak into her life. He sees this unique opportunity at this well in the middle of the day. He's tired, he's exhausted, and yet he sees this moment where he's going to speak into this woman's life. He's going to break down some of those walls. So here's what it says. Verse 9, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?'" She sees it. You wouldn't normally talk to me. There's something going on here. "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Verse 10, "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you" what? "Living water." He says, let me give you something here. I don't know your name. I'm just knowing you as this woman who's coming out of the well at high noon. Something's going on. But can I tell you today that God has a gift for you? Do you see that? If you would have just known that the reason why God brought you out to this well, the reason why I'm here at this well is because God's got something for you. And the Bible says he's got a gift for you. And he calls that gift living water. This gift that you've come out to receive, you didn't even know about it. But God's got something special for you, and it's living water. And the second thing he says here, he says, listen, if you had only known who's talking to you right now. And I want you to know that before you leave. I want you to know the one who's extending this offer of God's gift to you of living water before you leave. So two things. God's got a gift for you, and I want you to know who's the one that's delivering the gift. Verse 11. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? What's she saying here? She's saying, I don't really understand this concept of living water. And frankly, I don't blame her. Maybe, I mean, if we were there, we probably wouldn't understand it either. But she says, you have nothing to draw the water with. Where are you going to get this living water if you have nothing to draw the water with? And the living water is not coming from this well. Where is this living water? And is there another well around here somewhere that's better than this well that our grandfather, great-grandfather Jacob built, dug? And for generations, we've got water from? Is there something better than this well? To which Jesus responds to her, verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, now think about it, he's looking at the water in the well. Whoever drinks from this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus just gave her a problem. There's a problem here. You're going to come out probably like you have every day to draw from this well. It's going to keep providing for you, but you're going to keep having to come out every day. Here's why. Because every day you're going to be thirsty again. You're going to need more water every day. You're going to need to come out to this well every day. And you're going to keep being thirsty every single day. What's he doing here? He's posing her a problem that goes beyond just the water in the well. What's he referring to? Her deep need for something that will satisfy her soul. And she's looking and looking and looking, and he knows it. I was there. I was like, Lord, I know you, but I'm not talking to you right now. We've got a distance in our relationship. And my soul was thirsty to walk with him, to know him. But I kept pushing him away until that moment where God really brought someone into my life to start to speak truth back into my life. Again, this woman is thirsty and she's looking to quench that thirst. And Jesus is using this water as a symbol and a sign for her to say, you keep coming out to this well every day because you're thirsty. Can I tell you? I know there's a deeper need for you. There's a deeper problem going on in your life. Now, if I just had to ask you that tonight, I would ask, are you thirsty? How about this one? Let's look at it a different way. Are you dry? Are you spiritually dry? And if you said yes to me, then I would say maybe you take a step back and look at all the different wells that you're going to try to fill that void, to try to not be thirsty. And maybe if I could phrase it a different way, maybe I'd say, what are the distractions in your life that you keep going back to, knowing, and I was right there with you, knowing that the voice of God is calling out to you saying, no, come spend time with me. Come have relationship with me. And you hear that voice, but you keep shutting it down because you keep going to these other wells. And here we sit tonight, and that feeling and that sense that I'm not fulfilled. I'm dry spiritually. And I would just say, Christian, I think we can bump into this. I mean, I think we know where the right living water is, but there are moments where we can say, man, I'm dry. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's because we've gone to other wells. We begin to draw water from other wells. And maybe tonight the Lord's saying, hey, you feel it, right? You get that sense that something's not right in my relationship with you, Lord? You know it, right? And he would say, look at the wells that you've been going to and heading to, and that's why you're dry. And I'm telling you, maybe tonight you're coming here and you don't even have the answer for why your well's dry, but Jesus does. Jesus knows exactly why your well is dry. So he says, 14 with me again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Once you take in this living water, Jesus says, you will never thirst. You will have an endless supply of water that will always, always, always satisfy when you go to that well and you continue to drink. You will have reservoirs of water, fountains of water, he says, springing up into everlasting life. He says to that woman, stop searching. Stop looking. I'm here. I'm right in front of you. And I would say the same thing. If you're looking for the answer to the soul that is dry and thirsty and confused and hungry and lost and broken, Jesus is saying to you tonight, here I am. I'm right here. I'm right in front of you. In fact, I know this is probably not interesting to anyone else, but for some reason, I get all excited about scripture and the Bible. And so I look at this. I see this in the Old Testament. I want you to hear this. As Jesus uses this metaphor of living water, and he's looking at a well, and he says something that would not have been foreign to the Jewish people at the time. When he talked about living water, Jeremiah 2:13, God is a fountain of living water. Zechariah 14:8, talking about the day of the Lord, living water will be flowing from Jerusalem. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour out my water on him who is thirsty. And floods on dry ground, I will pour my spirit out unto the descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Psalm 36:9, for with you is the fountain of life. Psalm 42:1, as the deer panteth for the water, so my what? Soul longeth after you. I know that's no Chris Lazat. I apologize. We'll get him back up here. You can maybe sing that song. But here's what I'm saying. The Bible even talks about this idea that our soul longs for something. And Jesus is saying, listen, this living water will flow into you the moment that you put your trust in your life in my hands. Here's what he says. In fact, two times he says it. I'm the deliverer. He says, I'm the one that will bring this living water. He says, the water I shall give him. The water I shall give him. Two times, the water I shall give him will be like that water flowing like the living waters. Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I might not thirst nor come here to draw. Do you see her response? Whatever it is that you're selling, I'm buying. Whatever it is that could answer this, I want some of this in my life. And again, maybe that's you tonight. You're saying, this sounds too good to be true. I came because somebody invited me. I showed up tonight and I got this incredible concert and I'm just staying around because I thought I would. But this thing that you're talking about being satisfied, I've been longing for that for so long. And tonight you're pointing your way this way to Jesus who says, I am the deliverer of this promise. Now, I would have just stopped right there because I'm a chicken, but Jesus doesn't. He keeps going. He says, but here's the thing. You're not going to be able to drink from two wells. You're not going to be able to drink from two wells. You're going to have to choose a well that you're going to go to. Because here's the truth. This living water only comes from Jesus. You won't find this living water anywhere else. And here's what he would say. Nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing else will ever satisfy you. You go to a Mexican food restaurant, you get chips, and you eat so many chips, and you fill up on so many chips. Anybody else do this? And you don't get to enjoy the main course because you filled up on the things that were less important, although very good if you go to the right place. And then it comes time to mealtime and you're not even hungry because you've been going to all these other wells and you've been filling yourself up with all these other wells. Then you come to church or you open the scriptures and it's not satisfying, but it's not Jesus's fault. It's because we've gone to all the other places and all we really need is to come to him. You could do the same thing with Olive Garden. I thought Olive Garden breadsticks. Oh my gosh. The bread at the spaghetti factory. You could talk about those. All the things I had so many ideas here, but we're not going to go through all of them. Because it's so us. We fill up on the things that don't matter, and then we miss out on the thing, the living water that will pour fresh into us and fill us back up again. So here's what Jesus says, verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." In other words, go call your husband and come back here. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus, you got this wrong. I have no husband. Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." He says this, "You've been going to other wells, and I'm here to tell you there's one well, and you can't have two wells." So this has got to be a pivotal moment in your life right here to the woman at the well, where you have to make a decision. Am I going to continue to look in all these other places for the fullness of my soul, or am I going to finally come to Jesus and just give him my life and say, "Lord, I'm taking a chance, but would you fill me up with this living water?" Because we can't drink from two wells. We can't. It's really only by the Lord that we can continue to be filled. Jesus will do this so many times. He'll do it with tax collectors, right? He won't let them stay and continue to be greedy. He'll do it with the woman who was caught in adultery. What does he say to her? "Go and what? Sin no more. Stop drinking from that well." He'll continue as he goes throughout his ministry. The rich young ruler, you have to decide the love of money. Are you going to continue to love money? Are you going to sell everything you have and come and follow me? He knows you cannot have two wells. It's just one well. And I would say that to Jeff here tonight, Jeff, only one well. Follower of Christ, only one well. Don't get sidetracked by other wells. And for those of you who never tasted the living water of Jesus, I'm telling you right now, he's the one that delivers. And I could just get an amen, right? Followers of Christ, he is the one that delivers. Verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." I love that. "I perceive that you're a prophet. You just told me about my life. I perceive that you know something. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." There's an argument between the two of them of what the right place to worship was. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem or worship the Father." Verse 22, "You worship what you do not know. We worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and what? Now is." He says to her, "Listen, the hour is coming. You got to make a decision. This is a moment, a pivotal moment. If you knew who is standing before you," Jesus says to her, "if you knew who it was that's delivering this message, I want to tell you the hour is now." And I would tell you the same thing tonight. The hour is now. Don't wait. Don't put this off. Don't keep looking in all those other places. Look only unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And what does Jesus say to her in this moment? As she's hopeful, expectant of a Messiah and a Christ who will come, he says to her, "I who speak to you," what? "Am he." Here I am. And he could probably just drop the mic right there and be like, "I'm him. I'm the one that you've heard about, you know about, that you're waiting for. Here I am having a conversation midday as you've come out. This is a divine appointment, Samaritan woman at the well." This is a divine appointment. You are here for a reason, so that you would know that all these other things that you've been trying to do in your life with relationships, they're never going to fulfill you. What would he say to you tonight? This is a divine moment. This is a divine appointment. And he's saying to you tonight, and I would just say, not just for the person who's maybe exploring faith, but I would say even to the Christian, I would say, are you still looking in all these other places when you have the living water with you and in you, filled by the Spirit? And you would say maybe tonight, as I asked you, are you dry? And you would say, yeah, I'm dry. And maybe I would just tell you, maybe look where you've been looking and look back to Jesus again and spend time with him. And for those of you who have just come tonight because you were invited, I want to invite you to come to know Jesus, the one who promises the living water that satisfies, that never lets you down. And even when we walk through the valleys and the difficulties of life, and I know some of you are doing that, Jesus is always there, and Jesus is always filling you with freshness and newness of life by his Spirit. It turns out in this case, God had a big plan for this woman and for her village and for her town, because she says, listen, this guy, she goes back to town and she says, this guy told me everything that I ever done. He knew everything about me. You got to come see him. And they invite him to come back, and he shares with them more about who he is. And it says in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I've ever done. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more did what? Believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, check this out. Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the what? The Savior of the world. Now here's the thing. Tonight you have this moment sitting in front of you that I would encourage you not to move past. That there's this man by the name of Jesus who comes. He dies for us on a cross so that we could be set free. He rises again from the dead, demonstrating his power and authority over death. And then he says, I'm inviting you to come be part of my family, to receive this living water. And the text says that they identified him as the Savior of the what? The world. Open invitation to all who would put their faith and trust in him. They will be the ones that taste this living water now, and these wells that spring up into what's this? Eternity, forever and ever. Tonight, I don't want you to leave this place without knowing he's our Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the love that we all have, that we look to, and gives us that living water within us. So if tonight you are that person who's come and you feel like the Lord is calling you to step out in faith and put your trust in him, and like the woman of the well and her whole entire town believed on him, then come see me afterwards. There's a prayer booth all the way in the back. Jason's back there. I believe Sarah's back there. I see Brad back there. I see Leon back there. We would love to talk more about who Jesus is. We'll tell you who he is to us, and we'd love to pray for you to receive him. So if that's you tonight, do not leave this place without talking to someone and sharing that desire that maybe God is putting on you right now to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Let's pray. Chris, would you mind coming back up? Lord, tonight, I really do sense this calling in this text that we see so clearly of you, Lord Jesus, inviting this woman who you met at a well. I believe that was a divine appointment. There was intention behind your meeting there with her. Lord, yes, absolutely for her, that she would stop chasing after all these things of the world, instead find you. I believe that happens, Lord, even tonight. And then, Lord, the bigger, even bigger purpose was that you were going to reach a town, a village, a group of people because of the testimony of this woman. Lord, you do great things through changed lives and testimonies. So tonight, Lord, pour your Spirit out upon us. Lord, we are your people. Lord, you are our Savior, our Lord, our God. And Lord, we love you. Lord, thanks for tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.